Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sanklecha from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Viral.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss the Q1 FY25 business performance. Today on the call, we have from the management Mr. Dilip Panjwani, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manmohan Sharma, EVP Financial Controller, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and the other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Dilip sir.
Thank you, Viral. Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss business performance of first quarter for FY 2025. I hope you all have got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on the company's website. I wish to express my heartfelt gratitude to all those who dedicated their time to joining the call and have consistently been part of our journey. I have along with me Mr. Manmohan Sharma, Financial Controller, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations, and other members of the management team as well on the call. Let me begin by giving you a brief outlook on the Indian economy and solar sector. The IMF has raised India's growth forecast for FY24-25 period to a little higher than 7%, up from earlier 6.8% prediction in April 2024. India is on track to be the fastest-growing major economy thanks to increased interest from multinational companies eyeing India as a viable manufacturing hub amidst global supply chain challenges. In the financial year 2023-24, India achieved a notable milestone in renewable energy by adding 21.2 GW, a significant increase from previous year's 18.8 GW as reported by the Ministry of Renewable Energy. During this period, tenders for utility-scale projects exceeded the government's 50 GW target, reaching 72 GW, fueled by strong market opportunities, substantial central government support through targets and regulation, and improved operating margins. In the fiscal year 2023-24, solar installations contributed significantly, adding 17.3 GW to India's total renewable energy capacity. Solar energy continues to lead the country's renewable energy sector with a total installed capacity of 85 GW. This underscores India's commitment to advancing its renewable energy landscape. Overall, India's progress towards a sustainable energy future, particularly in solar and other renewable sources, is set to continue its robust growth trajectory. As a key player in global energy production and consumption, India is swiftly advancing towards a sustainable energy framework to meet its growing power demands. Between April and June 2024, India added around 3.6 GW of new solar PV capacity out of a total 4.4 GW capacity addition. Solar energy, representing 82.44% of this renewable capacity, highlights India's commitment to solar power. By June 2024, solar energy accounted for 57.7% of total installed power capacity, reflecting a notable increase from previous fiscal year, reaching 85.47 GW. This trajectory solidifies India's role as a major force in the global renewable energy sector, especially in solar power. In response to the urgent need for renewable energy amid climate change and rising energy costs, the country is heavily investing in and enacting supportive policies to boost solar power adoption as renewable energy costs continue to fall. The Union Budget 2024 underscores the government's strategic emphasis on enhancing energy security, advancing clean energy, and meeting net zero emission goals. It has allocated 19,100 crore to the Ministry of Renewable Energy, marking a significant increase in funding for solar power and other initiatives aimed at fostering sustainable energy development in India. Government measures, including financial incentives and supportive regulations, are key to accelerating renewable energy growth. in India. By encouraging solar and other renewables, these actions attract investment, drive innovation, and promote sustainable progress in the energy sector. India is poised to achieve the 100 gigawatt milestone in solar photovoltaic energy, positioning itself as a potential global leader in this sector. This progress is driven by technological innovation, supportive policies, and rising environmental awareness, all of which are expected to attract additional investment. The government's commitment to expanding renewable energy capacity highlights its dedication to fostering a sustainable and reliable energy future. The growing importance of Solar Energy Corporation of India and other agencies in renewable energy tendering underscores the robustness of India's renewable energy procurement system. In the realm of energy storage, the country aims to expand its storage capacity to 15 gigawatts by FY24 and 85 gigawatts by FY30, aligning with new renewable purchase obligations and energy storage norms to support its renewable energy goals. Now let me present our business performance for the quarter ended June 30, 2024. I am pleased to report that performance remains strong during first quarter of FY24. We have an unexecuted order book of 2,191 megawatts and we have successfully executed 217 megawatts during first quarter of FY2025. We have secured order wins totaling 58.19 megawatt peak for solar power projects, reflecting our strong momentum in the renewable energy sector. Revenue for the first quarter FY25 stood at INR 236 crores, representing a growth of 83.31% year-on-year as compared to 128 crores in first quarter of FY24. EBITDA for the first quarter of FY25 stood at 41.08 crores as compared to INR 13.40 crores in first quarter of FY2024, representing a growth of 206.6% year-on-year. Profit after tax during first quarter FY25 stood at 28.16 crores as compared to 9.13 crores in first quarter of 2024, representing a growth of 208.51% year-on-year. That's it from my end. Thank you for joining us today at and all, and we look forward to your questions. Over to you, Viral.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jatin Khandelwal from Khandelwal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to get some more clarity on your other verticals under Waaree Group. So battery energy storage system, would it come under Waaree Renewables, Waaree Tech, or Waaree Energy? That's the only question that I have.
Jatin, thank you so much. You know, we have time and again to our stakeholders always mentioned that Waaree Renewable Technology is the EPC company. And as we have EPC, we have got two segments which are prominent for us, which is EPC and O&M, operations. We have a small portfolio of IPP as well, but our focus is always on EPC and IPP. The rest of the product lines that you are mentioning will fall under the other group companies. Specifically, you may have to reach out to investor relations to know which vertical will fall under which company. But as far as Waaree Renewable Technologies is concerned, we will remain committed to EPC and O&M as of now.
Got it. I'll just clarify. I'll reach out to investor relations for more info. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agecha from HG Hawa & Co. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, thank you. And my question was regarding to any companies that are getting any export orders?
Look, you know, for us, the domestic market is quite compelling, but that doesn't mean that we have ruled out export markets. But our focus right now, you know, there's so much of opportunity that's happening in India. And we want to capture a slice of that first before we venture out. At an opportune time, you know, we will inform all our stakeholders on our export-driven markets. So right now we are focusing on domestic markets.
Understood. And the second question was, like, is the company targeting any 1GW projects?
Can you repeat that question? Your voice went very low.
Yeah, 1GW projects.
So we have one project which is closer to 1G, you know, it's 20 megawatt lesser than 1 gigawatt. But we do have in our portfolio significant size projects.
Thank you for answering.
Mr. Amit, does that answer all your questions?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sarang Joglekar from Vimana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand about margin stability. So on an annualized basis, it's pretty stable at 24%, but if you look at quarter-wise, it's quite volatile. So just wanted to understand why is that and going forward, how it would be.
Thanks, Sarang. You know, we have time and again mentioned that we should be, you know, sub 15 kind of a range, and though we will always remain in double digits. Last year, you know, we were able to register a significant margin, especially in the last quarter as well. You know, they are driven by, you know, certain specific projects, etc. But the more stable margins is in the 15% kind of a range. Though this quarter also we have, you know, beaten and we have been at higher than little 17%. But, you know, for our modeling purposes, we always take 15% as stable margins.
It's around EBITDA level 15%. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. All right. Also, on the industry scenario, I just wanted to understand, there's 280 gigawatt of renewable energy target, out of which almost 80 is done. So out of the remaining 200, that includes private C&I and say PPC as well, right? So how much?
Karan, you are echoing. You may have to repeat your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I said on the industry scenario, just wanted to understand, out of the 280 gigawatt target, almost 80 is done, 200 is left, and that includes self-EPC, private, commercial and industrial. So how much is the addressable market that you see for the third-party EPC players like yourself?
Look, you know, the government's policy is to have a vision of grid-driven 500 gigawatt of renewable capacity, out of which 280 gigawatt is solar. So what you have mentioned is correct. India achieved, you know, 80 gigawatt of solar capacity, and that's by 2030. But whether it includes C&I or not, those are not kind of specified. They are grid connected. But there's a lot of interest from corporate sector, and there's a lot of new demand that will come up from green hydrogen and those areas. So 200 definitely from policy perspective, that's a left business by 2030. But there's always a higher business that will come up from, you know, old projects coming up for renewal, C&I, those who will do it for, you know, captive, maybe behind the meter. Then, you know, there will be off-grid projects as well. That will definitely, you know, be higher than 200 gigawatt. But that's difficult to specify, you know, what will be the exact addressable market for EPC players. Because there's no science behind how many people are outsourcing and how many people are actually, you know, outsourcing this and insourcing within themselves. But there's a significant portion of these projects which are now coming up for outsourced players like ours. That's where, you know, even our order book is, the pipeline is also increasing, you know, because of the interest of a lot of players to outsource. Because they want to speeden up the projects, so they believe that, you know, outsourcing kind of helps them. You know, if you look at some of the care and CRISIL studies, so it's in lakhs of crores, the EPC market.
Right. Got it. Thanks. Also, one more thing, can you give a bifurcation of your order book based on how much of it is with module and with how much is balance of system?
Well, you know, I can give you a sense. We don't reveal the exact number, but you know, we normally tend to be in the range of 30 to 35% with module and 65 to 70% without module, which we call as balance of systems as our projects. And that's been our trend, you know, historically. But now we are also seeing projects coming up with modules also, you know, increase. But that range still remains the same.
Okay. And for those orders with module, do you procure from your parent or from others? How does that work?
So normally, if there is a no insistence from the customer to buy from a particular geography or particular vendor, we do tend to buy from parent at an arm's length. It's a building competitive at the end of the day. If our parent is able to match the market price, we tend to buy from the parent. But we haven't seen, you know, I mean, we have seen many, some of the cases where customers have insisted that, you know, they will buy directly, but in the cross-selling opportunity, we do get these contracts from our parents as well. So there was a customer, you know, I can't name it, but he bought our modules from parent, but he gave EPC to us itself at the end of the day. So those things keep happening. So whether we buy from parent or not, that's not a significant event for us because they happen at arm's length only.
Okay, got it. So one last question. Some time back there was some news about some deal with 5B Maverick, right? So can you throw some light on it?
Yeah, so you know, 5B Maverick has completed its test production, etc. In coming couple of months, you know, we might see some of the deployments in terms of 5B Maverick in Wari Renewable. So we have a tie-up with them. They have taken a little longer to, you know, test there. The good part about 5B Maverick is that it's easily deployable and it cuts the time to put modules on the ground-mounted kind of structures. So they are, you know, ready to fabricate prefabricated building blocks for 5B Maverick. We will see them in a couple of months. Hopefully.
Okay. And any estimate on how much that impacts or enhances our margins?
See, you know, it's a new product. It's very difficult to put any impact on margins, etc. It's the customer's adoption that's more important. And we do expect that given the value addition that, you know, 5B Maverick will bring in terms of speed to deployment, you know, cutting short the time for going for the project to live. Today it takes about 12 months, 18 months. How much time it is cutting short? You know, it depends on all those things, you know, how much is the customer adoption.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Trivedi from Nepean Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a great set of results. The question I had was with respect to your EBITDA margin. Obviously, there was another question also on a similar thing. But I've looked at, you know, the competitors or people in this industry, your peers. Their margins are much, much lower at about 9.5%. And wanted to understand how is it that you are able to get such good margins?
Gautam, you know, we keep constantly getting a question on why our margins are, and you know, we have been constantly producing those kinds of margins. There are two sets of things that we need to look at. We have been very long in this business and we have done cautiously, you know. We don't tend to go below a particular internal benchmark margin in all our projects, you know. We don't get into projects for the sake of just bringing in revenues. That's one of the reasons. And second reason, of course, is that we have developed a strong ecosystem of vendors. The third, of course, you know, you should, you know, leave it some secrets to us, you know, as businessmen, that we want to produce value for our stakeholders.
Yeah, absolutely. The other question is, how big of a pie do you see annually for the next, say, 5 years in total number of gigawatt addition in India?
Look, you know, it's a good question that you have come up with, and I would like to now address you how the company is looking at this sector. We are not looking at this sector as solar sector. Solar, you know, we have already addressed that. It's a 200 gigawatt that's left over that the government is, as a policy framework, they are trying to address. We are now even bidding for BESS project, you know, battery energy storage system project also. The tendering has come up, you know, recently, and similarly, you know, we are looking at storage systems, pump storage. We are looking at hybrid projects. We are looking at RTC. You put any number, it will be an underestimate, you know. So there are enough research reports which say that, give and take, what will be the number, you know, if you take even best project, best
projects, which is battery energy storage system, there are two numbers. You know, one is 42 gigawatt and another is roughly around 72 gigawatt by 2030. So even if you take the lower number at 42 gigawatt, the spend that is likely to happen is 14 lakh crores in that sector alone. Okay. Then there are RTCs and, you know, green hydrogen, green ammonia. So we are seeing a decade of inflation growth in this sector, you know. So for me to put a number and restrict myself will be, you know, not putting a vision for my stakeholders, you know. We are equipping ourselves that we should be able to take all these, you know, marquee projects in our segment.
Okay, understood. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind all the participants that you may press star and one to ask your questions. The next question is from the line of Shashikant from Brighter Mind Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats on your good set of number compared to last year same period. But if I take about the quarterly numbers, there is a decline in per megawatt realization. Can you shed some light on that?
Look, you know, this question was attended in the past also in a different way. There was a question on, you know, how much is the module component, etc. Our average realization per megawatt is between 1 to 1.2 crores. So when we speak average, it could be sometimes lower than 1 crore, it could be sometimes higher than 1 crore, but that's the range that we operate in, you know, and it depends on whether it's a turnkey contract or whether it's a balance of system. So in a particular quarter, if my per megawatt value is higher and a subsequent quarter it is lower, it actually doesn't impact us because we always look at full year, you know. These projects are 12 to 18 months project and we see how much the client has given us as a valued business to us. And that remains consistent for us. We speak this on two lens. One, on the volume segment which you are putting a question, and even on the margins also. Our margins could be, you know, up in one quarter and in next quarter they could be down. Revenue could be up and down for on a unit basis. But in this full year, that is important for EPC players. That's more important for us.
Sir, second question is how many employees we have added in this quarter?
So we are right now roughly around 240.
Mr. Shashikant, does that answer your questions?
240, are we on total or what is the incremental addition during this quarter?
You know, project specific, we are not taking in count in this, but project specific, we keep on adding, you know, and outsourced people as well, you know. So these are our permanent employees. We measure this in terms of, you know, how much business we can do. So right now, we are geared up to do a significant higher level of business. If you look at our employee cost base, it has gone up from previous quarter 4 crores to almost like 6 crores. It's 6.5 crores. So we keep adding people and manpower to equip ourselves to do much higher level of business. And
sir, as we have mentioned that our unexecuted book is around 2191. Megawatt. So in this quarter we have executed 217 megawatt. So as you know, H2 is big period for EPC companies. So what is the estimated executed project that we expect to get executed in H2?
You know, we don't get into guidance, but I can give a perspective. At the beginning of the year, we were at 2.3 gigawatt and from here on, from 1st of July, you know, you can take that as a benchmark or you take from 1st April. If you take from 1st July, we are supposed to complete these projects in 9 to 12 months, the balance left over. And if you take from 1st April also, this 2.3 gigawatt was supposed to be completed between April to next June. You know, that's what was the outlook. If you take from today onwards, it roughly translates to 75% of the leftover business. So if you take 2.1 gigawatt and if you take 75%, we should be somewhere around 1.8 gigawatt roughly.
Sir, one last question. What is the bid pipeline currently? Are we bidding for in new areas like battery storage system and all, as you have mentioned?
I have already attended that question in a very larger perspective when Gautam was talking to us on the market sizing. Yes, we are looking for renewable energy projects is the right terminology rather than solar as a fact for us. We are already doing that.
So basically, current bid pipeline, if I ask for the year that we are doing.
Current bid pipeline is, today we are, as we speak, it is 15.5 gigawatt.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Sanwal from Nivashay Investment Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hope I'm audible.
Mr. Karan,
you can be a bit louder.
Is this okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. I was meaning to ask, considering that we have such a huge order book position, so are we exploring any opportunity to, subcontract some of the orders, or we would be continuing expanding our team in-house to complete the order book?
Look, we don't outsource much part of our, business, but, some portion, like civil, etc., where we feel that it's a small piece of a business that we are not competent in, we do outsource that. But largely, we try to do it in-house, ourselves. And as far as, taking on more work is concerned, I've already attended that, looking at our, expansion in employee base and we being a platform, today if I have to take up, three, four more bigger projects like the gigawatts, it's not a challenge for us. The kind of capacity that we have is very huge, to undertake EPC projects.
Correct. That's helpful. And also, wanted to ask, are we exclusive partner to 5B or they are, free to tie up with other EPC players as well?
No, 5B is exclusive with us.
For the Indian market, right?
Yes. But we can, export also, in that space. We can develop a market for them in exports also, but domestically they will do business to us only.
Okay. And so can we expect this, the current run rate of power sale revenue that we are recording for the rest of the year? Or, what could be the, good number to look at for the full year basis?
Power sales, it's a very annuity kind of a stuff. I hope we continue at the same run rate for the rest of the year, give and take, 3-4% depending upon weather fluctuations and the degradation in modules that happens naturally.
Okay, and again, do look out to, sell this project or we will keep it in-house only?
As of now, we are keeping it in-house and we will inform stakeholders, whenever we have an intent to monetize these assets.
Okay. And one last question, so what would be the proportion of this retention money that we, keep in the form of performance bank guarantees in the contract? And have any bank guarantees been, triggered in the last, in the years of operation that we have?
So, the retention money is roughly, depends on contract to contract. Largely in the range of 5%, but they can stretch up to 10% also, And as far as your second question is concerned, has any bank guarantees been triggered as of now? No, we haven't been triggered by any BG's invocation with us as of now.
Okay, that's helpful. I had one question if I can. So this is, you talked about hybrid projects, solar and wind together. Are we in advanced talks with any of the players or is it still in discussion?
I didn't hear last part. What did you mean by that? We are able to undertake RTC hybrid projects and then you said something. We are in, what was that?
So I was asking, are we in advanced talk with any customers? Or is it still in discussion in-house, do we want to take this hybrid projects or not?
See,
we constantly continue to engage with our customers. You know, that's why we mention that we are actively looking at these kinds of projects. Now, whether it's an advanced talk or early talk is difficult to spell out, you know, when a business translates into actual order. So we are definitely in talk. It's difficult to specify whether it's an advanced talk or no, because there's no metric to measure the difference between advanced and early talks.
Right, right. That's helpful. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Abhigyan Gurra from Aryaman Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much and congratulations for the wonderful results. Just one question. The operating profit margin is being shown as 17% for the current quarter, which is around 10-11% down for the last two quarters. May I know the reasons, what are the reasons specific for this downfall of 10-11% in OPM percentage?
See, you know, look, if you look back into our history with engaging with stakeholders, we have always maintained that we should be in the range of 15%, you know. So, I think, you know, it's a factor of that. And I also mentioned that you have to look at margins in annually. You know, quarter volatility is very difficult to explain because these projects are 12 months, 18 months projects. So, in a project, sometimes you have a higher margin. In a project, sometimes you have, and if that occurs in particular quarter, this volatility will continue, you know. We would not like to specify, you know, which project kind of what happened, etc. Our continued model remains on double-digit 15% level of margins. That's a better way to look at our business.
Okay, thank you, sir. In other words, can I look into it that what were the reasons for high percentage in December and March quarters, which rallied up to 27% and 28%?
So whether the margin is inverted or whether the margin is, you know, on the higher side, the answer remains the same. So whenever it is higher also, you know, I cannot specify, I would not like to get into one single project or something like that. I said that, you know, we continue to remain guided by our model that we should be in the range of sub 15 and that we maintainable margin, you know, as to the business that's coming up.
Right, sir. Second question, sir, regarding the employee cost, it has seen a kind of a 1% increase in the employee cost. Is it up to the higher senior management position or middle and lower management has been increased in the organization?
It's a mix of both. So it's a robustness in back office, is a robustness in front office as well. So front office, when we mean it, it's on the project level, you know, higher project managers, senior people joining the company. It's a mix of both. But more higher numbers is towards the project side.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarang Joglekar from Vimana Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Sarang, you may go ahead with your question.
So your investors presentation mentions that you had also won a green hydrogen project 1 megawatt. So is that entire green hydrogen project or just the solar power plant part of it? So if you could throw some light on that.
See, it's a pilot project given by a government agency and it has not made significant progress because they are yet to give us land and facilitate other things. So as and when we have an update, we will tell you. But to answer the question, the project includes setting up the hydrogen plant as well as solar. It's just not solar.
Okay, got it. And one more, the IPP plant that you have 40 megawatt almost. So how much is the revenue generated from that?
One second, I'll give you the data point. IPP. So we have generated 7.5 crores, little less than 7.5 crores for our IPP plants revenues in first quarter.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Vora from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand what were the primary drivers behind the 83-odd% YOY revenue growth?
So we have been growing, if you look at our history, from the first year of our results, 125 crores to 325, 325 to 876 crores. And now we are expecting to end the year at 1.8 gigawatt, roughly or 2 gigawatt kind of business for the whole year. Whether you look at it in crores or whether you look at it in megawatt, it is between 2 to 3x. So 2 to 2.5x is what we have been growing. And that's the kind of market landscape also available in India right now in the renewable energy space. So it's a reflection of that growth that is coming in. When we started the year, we had projects which were like 2.3 gigawatt in hand, which was also again, between 2 to 2.5x in volume higher than the last year. That's the reason we have delivered 83% higher turnover.
Okay, understood. Thank you for the detailed answer. And also, if you could provide the breakdown of performance across the different business segments and how are they contributing to the revenue growth, that would be really helpful.
See, right now, the focus is on EPC segment. So if you look at, majority, almost like, 90% of the business comes from EPC. But the tail business, which is O&M, is kind of 500 megawatt for us. But the projects that we complete, by the end of the year, which will be like beginning of the next year, we will have almost like 2 gigawatt of O&M also available with us. So, which is again 3.3 to 3.5x higher than what we are today. So we have delivered kind of 2.5 crores kind of revenues. So the for the full year, if you go, it will be 10 crores. But the next year, it will be like 3x, 2 to 2.5x. Sorry, 2 to 2.5x. Hopefully, if these projects go online.
Understood. Understood. Thank you, and all the best for the upcoming year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitanshi Agarwal from SKV Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
You are audible, ma'am.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, what are your capital expenditure plans for the upcoming year?
You know, the good part of our business is that we don't need any significant capital expenditure. We are like a platform, If you want to give me today, like I want to do a 2 gigawatt, if you want to give me 3x business, I can deliver 3x business without adding any additional capital expenditure. We may need some bit of capital, little bit here and there for our working capital limits, but that we manage from our bank guarantees and letters of credits. So for me to go up even, 3x from here, I don't need significant amount of capital expenditure to be spent.
Okay, okay, that's great. And so my second question is, can you provide insights into your innovation pipeline and upcoming product launches?
We are not doing any product launches. We cater to EPC business where, customers wants to install renewable energy projects, be it in solar space, hybrid space, RTC space, energy storage systems on both sides, BESS and pump storage. We are in that segment right now. So there's no innovative product launches that we get into. We cater to renewable energy space in India, which is growing at a breakneck speed. Government's target is to put up 500 gigawatt of plants. That's enough a big market for us.
Okay, okay. So my follow-up to this is, how do you see your business strategy and operations getting impacted by the current market trend?
Current market trend, if you can highlight what is the risk concern, I can address it. But I have been mentioning throughout my call that the government is committed to renewable energy space, which has been spelled out many a times. In fact, the latest that the government has come up was they wanted to do at least 50 gigawatt of renewable energy projects in India going forward. And if you look at the last year's trajectory, they had come out with roughly 69 to 70 gigawatt of renewable energy tenders, and the installations in solar have crossed 85 gigawatt. So if you can tell me, what would we get impacted in the current market trends, then let me know, I can address it.
Okay, sir. That's enough. So that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Jay Shah from AIB Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Hi. So my first question is, what are the key risks that you foresee in the upcoming quarters, and how do you plan to like mitigate them?
See, in upcoming quarter, it's too short, and you know we have already surpassed 1 month in that. We don't see, you know, except for monsoon rains, we don't see any significant risk in the upcoming quarter that we need to address. The macroeconomic environment still remains intact. India Inc. is spending on renewable energy projects. So long as government policy remains effective and they continue to remain on their commitment of 50 gigawatt of annual renewable energy, we expect even that to surpass. But if it remains at 50 gigawatt, there's a plenty of room for growth both this quarter and subsequent quarters as well.
Okay, thank you for that detailed answer. My next question is, are there any plans for geographic expansion either within India or like internationally?
So as far as India is concerned, we undertake projects pan-India. There is no question of, you know, any expanding new territory. We try to do projects in every nook and corner. Though we are dominant in few states, you know, as projects are available. As far as international markets is concerned, I have addressed it in the beginning that, you know, the domestic market is very compelling opportunity for players like us. We will address the international market space, you know, as and when, you know, there's an update. We are on lookout and we remain on lookout, but the plan, etc., you know, as and when we venture out, we will definitely, you know, inform our stakeholders.
Okay. One last question from my side would be, how has the customer base evolved, and what are the steps that the company is taking to expand it further?
So customer base evolvement has happened, you know, we used to significantly undertake projects from utility scale IPPs. Now, there's a government business which is increasing. So that's an evolution that has happened because government is spending a lot on renewable energy space through NTPC, SECI, SJVN, NHPC, etc. So that's the evolution that has happened in this sector.
Okay. Thank you. That was it from my side.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Shubham Shete from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Shubham.
Hi. Good result. I just have a question on module pricing. Like, does the lowering of the prices impact your margin? If yes, then how do you procure your modules, and how, like, what contract do you have? Is that the long-term contract, or how do you procure that?
See, you know, we don't get into, first of all, long-term contracts on module because unless there's a firm order, we don't get into procurement. So as soon as we get a order and our margins are visible there, we immediately lock in prices for modules and it's back to back. So that doesn't impact us on either side, either on the positive side or on the negative side. We want to protect our margins, and therefore we don't get into any speculative arrangement because modules remain the significant part of the procurement if the project is along with modules. So I hope that makes you understand that, you know, the margins are actually not impacted through module procurement, and it's because it's back-to-back and locked in, we don't get into those things.
Understood. One just last question, like, just want to get your view on the landscape of the module prices that's happening. Is it at the bottom end of the curve, or is still...
If I could predict, I would have already bet. I would have put my bet on those prices and made money. No, I don't think anybody can guess those prices of any commodity, you know. It's at the end of the day a significant commodity play. It's been coming down, prices have been coming down. But there has been, you know, a pause in how much they are coming down now. But for me to predict where they are headed, extremely difficult. They are a function of many factors.
or do we see stability in at least in India market? I mean, the models which are popular on VCRs.
Look, you know, India market is also impacted with Chinese production capacity at the end of the day. The one good thing that has happened in India now is, having said that, you know, the one good thing in India that has happened is there's an ALMM in place now. So wherever there's a government involvement in terms of grid or money, you need to put only approved list of module manufacturers, you know. So, but some part of raw material gets imported in India as well. So it's very difficult to say even in Indian market, you know, where they are headed.
Sure, that sums up. Sure, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sanklecha for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank the management for taking out the time for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisors to Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.